Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 1, of course, where we've been for 2 months. So Romans chapter 1. Well, it's been a tough season in the world, hasn't it? I mean, it's just really been rough. So much sickness and death. And we hear the reports of the school shooting and all the stuff that happened after that, and economic problems and new strains of this disease and all kinds of things and death. It just seems like I'm afraid to open up Facebook anymore, because it's like, well, what's the latest bad news, or who's the latest person in ICU, or who's the latest relative that passed away? And it's just sad, and it can wear on us. But it's been tough. These are sad times. These are scary times. So how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this kind of stuff? Today, I believe the Lord wants us to focus on the topic of peace. Is that all right? How about if we talk about peace? Because it is a huge theme in the Bible, and we need it today. Amen. If we ever needed peace. As we continue our series in the book of Romans, what we're doing is we're doing it in kind of a different way, jumping from the first chapter and then taking those themes in the first chapter, which is an introduction, and seeing how it's treated throughout this great epistle, this great letter that Paul has written. We call it a book, letter, epistle. But it's, many people look at it and say, this is really the Magna Carta of the Bible. I mean, it just summarizes the whole message of the Bible like no other book. So let's go to a verse we've already read a whole bunch of times, but let's do it again. Focus on something else. Romans 1:7 says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, we talked all about that, grace to you and what? Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. It was part of the common greeting among the early Christians. And being that the very first Christians were all Jewish, it just carried on the ancient Hebrew greeting that is still spoken to this day. Does anybody know what the Jewish people say to one another when they greet each other? Shalom. Shalom, which is translated a Hebrew word for peace, but it's so much more than peace. There's so much more in this word. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Hebrew and the Greek, the words for peace mean, well, let's look at the definition. It's more than just peace and quiet or not being troubled by things. You know, there was a retiree who bought a new house, and he was very excited about it. Nice new house, and nice neighborhood. It was next to a high school. And those first few months there, which was summer, it was very quiet, peaceful, quiet, etc. But then school started, and the fall semester started. And right from the start, there was this group of boys that would be marching to school, and on their way to school, they're banging on all the mailboxes, and if trash cans are out, they're banging on the trash cans, and they're making all this. And early in the morning, and this poor guy with his new house, his peace is being disturbed. And then on their way back from school in the afternoon, they're banging on all the mailboxes and making noise and shouting and all this kind of stuff. So after a while, this continued and continued. And so this man was a very smart man. And so one day when the boys were coming home from school, and they're banging on everything and making all this noise, he goes out to meet them. And at first they think, oh, we're in trouble. And he said, hey, boys. And they're like, yeah. He said, man, you guys remind me of my days when I was your age. We had a lot of fun. I used to do this kind of thing all the time. It just kind of such good memories. You know what? How about this? Let's make a deal. They said, what? He said, if you guys keep doing this, every day I'll meet you on your way home from school. If you do bang and, you know, make all your noise on the way to school and make it on the way back, I'll give you a dollar, each a dollar every day. The boys are like, yeah, definitely. Glad to do that. So they're doing it for a week. They're just banging on stuff on their way to school and on their way back. They're making all this noise, and he'd stop them on their way back from school, and he'd give them each a dollar. Well, a week passes, and he goes out to meet them, and he says, guys, I'm so sorry. I just had a whole bunch of medical bills and stuff that aren't covered by my insurance, and I really apologize, but I'm going to have to cut your dollar down to 50 cents. And the boys were not too happy, but they're like, okay, I mean, it's 50 cents. So they went banging on stuff, making noise on their way to school. He'd meet them, give them 50 cents on their way home and stuff. So another week passes, and he goes out and meets them again. He says, boys, I really apologize. I don't know what's going on, but my Social Security checks are not coming in, and I'm going to have to drop you guys down to a dime a day. The boys are looking at each other, and they're like, forget this. We're not doing all this for a dime. Peace and quiet. Smart man. But peace is not just quiet surroundings or getting along with people or even nations getting along with other nations. But it's a whole being kind of a word. And in the Greek, it's the word eirene, and it means security, safety, prosperity, and extreme happiness, because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. That's actually what shalom means as well. So when the Jewish people say shalom to one another, they're speaking an incredible blessing upon one another. Imagine you're living in a culture where every day a whole bunch of people are saying to you, hey, security, safety, prosperity, and extreme happiness to you. Wouldn't that really affect you? Is it any wonder that the Jewish people are so prosperous and blessed? Because they're speaking blessing over one another. It continues, it means that tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. That deep contentment, that tranquil state of knowing that they're saved through Christ and that there's nothing to fear. We live in a world full of fear. But God is saying, peace, peace. We need to be in that state in the midst of all this craziness. I often have said this whenever we read an introduction to one of the letters of Paul where he says, grace and peace to you. And I've often dreamed of how, wouldn't that be great as Christians if we, instead of saying, hey, sup, man? Sup, Ed? Instead of saying that, you know, saying, grace and peace to you. We can't get out of it, you know. hey. But maybe we can try it every once in a while, say shalom, maybe, and speak these blessings toward one another. But isn't this what we need today? Isn't that what the world needs today, to have this spoken to them even? Well, what does the apostle say about peace in this book of Romans? Well, he says a lot. The word peace and its derivatives are used 12 times in this letter. And it gives us some direction on how to obtain it, how to stay in it, and how to even share it in this world that desperately needs it. So to start, we go a little bit into the book to chapter 5. And when I read this verse, this is where I really felt the Lord wanted me to share this message. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Peace in life starts with peace with God. Peace in life starts with peace with God, with a personal relationship with Jesus. When you take care of the ABCs of getting right with God, there is peace that will fill your soul like nothing else. So what are the ABCs? You hear me say them every day, or every sermon, at the close of every sermon. But if you get the ABCs down, you can walk in this peace. And the A stands for admit. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need forgiveness. There's no peace when you know that you are a sinner at enmity with the judge of all the universe. You're just not going to be at peace if you know that you're not right with God. Romans chapter 3, long passage there. We read this a while back. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands, none who seeks after God. They all have turned aside. They all have become unprofitable. There's no one who does good. And this is quoting the Old Testament about the sinful nature of man. We're all sinners. We've all had to come to admit that we are in need of forgiveness. And that last verse is key. And the way of peace they have not known. You can't know peace when you're in rebellion to God, if you're not right with God, if you don't confess your sins, if you don't admit your need for God. This verse is really powerful. King David recognized this in his life. And he says this, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is that person. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Watch this. "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah." You know, while he was holding on to his sin and not admitting, not confessing, God's hand was heavy upon him. Guilt is a heavy burden to bear. If you're walking around with guilt all the time, it's a burden that's just too intense. But if you would just say, "God, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter how many times you have to come to him, but if you would just come to him and confess, there will be this relief. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. God has covered. We just celebrated how God has covered our sin by dying on the cross for us. So therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the second thing there is we have to realize that it's by faith. We got to believe it. Now, of the ABCs, the B is to believe. You got to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that he is taking care of this issue. You know, without that, no amount of doing good will ever resolve the guilt that we feel deep inside of us that takes our peace away. If we don't get right with God, we could be doing all the good works in the world, but just we're always going to have that nagging guilt. And so we got to believe. We got to believe that he forgives our sins, that he took care of it, that he forgives us, and that if we ask, we'll get forgiven. And there's that peace that fills our entire beings. Again, peace in life starts with peace with God. So admit, believe, and then C, confess him as Lord. Confess Jesus as Lord. He is Lord, whether you confess him or not, by the way. The Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even the haters of God, the haters of Christ, they will one day have to bow before him. So, why not do it now? Why not yield ourselves to him now and enjoy the benefits of being right with God and the peace that comes with that rightness with God? So, when you're in rebellion to God, you're outside of peace. But when you finally say, "Jesus, you're Lord, you know what's best for me, you created me, I confess you as my Lord," then that peace comes. Great peace. Ultimate peace. The gospel is a gospel of peace. As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, We have good news. Amen? We have good news. And I'm telling you, that peace when we're right with God, it's nothing like it. You know, Erwin was just sharing how here's his brother, basically just they couldn't get the oxygen levels up and such. And he said, you know, I'm done. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go home. And even to his last breath, he's witnessing to the nurses, telling him about Jesus. You know? What confidence. What faith. You know, what peace where you're not afraid even of death. You're like, I'm ready. I like sticking around. I like my family and such. But, you know, I'm getting to that age. A lot of us are where there's more of our friends up there than there are down here, you know. There comes a time when you're like, you know, I'm ready to see some folks again that I've missed for a while. And there's such, I mean, you can't get a deeper peace than that. The media is terrifying us every moment of the day. Every single commercial. Do you have a soreness just right to the left of your knee? You're going to die. You know what I'm talking about? All those drug commercials. I got to turn off the commercials because they're trying to terrify you. It's even a local heating cooling guy that basically says, have you had one of our inspectors come by? Because if you didn't, your house will blow up and you could die. I mean, he's not saying it that way, but basically. So we're being terrified. But if we have peace with God, we don't fear even death. My pastor, my first pastor, when I was a college student in Ann Arbor, Howard Bailey, he was a great man. And I'll never forget the story about when he was passing. He was in his hospital bed and the time was coming, and his wife was there loyal by his side all the time. And she said that one time it looked like he was going and he fell asleep. And she thought, well, this is it. And he just fell asleep peacefully. And an hour later, he wakes up. He's looking around. He says, oh, I'm still here? What peace to be right with God. Amen? All right. Now, the problem is a lot of people who have taken even the ABCs and are saved, but have not been living in the fullness of that salvation. Maybe you've allowed the devil to condemn you. Maybe you've allowed the devil to convince you that God is angry at you. Whatever it is, but you lost your peace as a believer. Folks, this is not a time to lose your peace with God. There's enough trouble out there. Get close to God. Stay with Him. Believe Him. Believe that He's on your side, because we can't afford to have something that we don't need to carry. And according to this book of Romans, there are some things that we can do to restore our peace. Now, earlier I said no amount of good works will give you enough peace. But once you're a believer, you're saved, saved by faith, you're trusting God for your salvation, something else happens. In Romans 2, it says, tribulation and anguish on every soul of a man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Again, some of us have lost our peace because we've been messing around with evil. And when you're messing with it and you're not stopping it, you're going to have trouble and anguish. But if we would get rid of that, and not only the negative side, but on the positive side, we're doing good, peace comes. There's nothing that gives you more satisfaction and a peace in your heart than doing good. There's just something about when you do good, it just satisfies you. And there's a sense of peace that comes to you. Whether it's you're doing good for someone else or you're doing good unto God or whatever it is, when you're doing good, there comes this peace. Peace to everyone who works what is good. Now, we don't get saved by works, but it does help us in our walk. If we continually are doing evil, it's going to chip away at our faith, and we're just not going to believe God that He's forgiving. We'll come into this anguish. But we've got, when you do good, when you're faithful, you know, entertaining yourself constantly to try to get peace. You know, it works as long as the TV is on. As soon as the movie's done or the TV's off, you forget about that, the peace, and you start thinking about all the problems in your life. And some people, they may try to use substances to get some sense of peace, but that, of course, wears out after a time. That doesn't do any good. But when you do good, there's a deep satisfaction. You lay your head on your pillow and you feel good. Amen? Romans 8:6 kind of touches on this. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death." Carnally means fleshly minded. "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now, next time you feel anxious about something, next time you are afraid or you're fearful, think about what you can do for somebody else. Think about something good and watch the anxiety melt away. And if you're focused on satisfying your flesh all the time, you're going to be in a constant state of agitation. There's no peace when you're thinking about how to satisfy your flesh. It's such slavery. It's slavery. If your appetites rule you and you're constantly trying to satisfy them, you're not at peace. Get your mind off of it. Jean and I joke because she knows, you know, I kind of do the keto thing, sort of, you know. And so I'll eat whatever I eat, and I eat a lot. I'll eat a lot, and half an hour later, I'm starving to death. I'm starving. If I keep my mind on my appetites, I'm not at peace. So I got to get, isn't it interesting how when I get involved in something, like when I'm working on my sermon or something and I'm so engaged, I'm not thinking about, you know, my appetite or whatever. I'm focused on something that's spiritual, and there's life and peace in that instead of trying to satisfy every desire, every feeling, etc. When you set your mind on things above, great peace comes. When you think about God, His Word, worship, prayer, fellowship, etc., peace comes. Philippians chapter 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Now I want you to notice what He's called, the God of peace. But He'll be with you when you focus on these things you've learned and received and heard and saw. So listen to the sermon tomorrow, and then Thursday too, or Wednesday. The things you've heard and received, saw, these do. God of peace will be with you. Next, a couple more things. Romans chapter 12, verse 18, we see peace mentioned. "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." This is so important. As much as depends on you. That's such a critical phrase. As much as depends on you. In other words, don't worry about everybody else and whether they're doing their part. That'll get you out of peace right away. Don't worry. It's enough of a burden to carry our own burdens in this sense. We don't need to carry the burden of what that person is doing for God or is not doing for God. Why carry that burden too? Amen? I got enough trouble to deal with. And you're going to lose your peace thinking about what everybody else is supposed to be doing. As it depends on you, live at peace. Well, that person won't get along with me. And it's like, as it depends on you, leave them to the, okay, they're not playing fair, you know, they're not playing right. That's their problem. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with them. That's all you're obligated to do. And watch this. "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another." So pursue the things that make for peace And the context of this verse is so important. It's about not appointing yourself to be the judge of all the world. Romans chapter 14. I'm going to spend a couple of weeks on Romans 14. It's such an important chapter today. But why, again, why do you want to carry that burden of being the judge of all the earth? Why do you want to carry the burden of whether another person is observing the Lord in a certain way or doing something for the Lord or not doing something for the Lord? You go to Romans 14, and I'm just going to read part of it. It says, receive one who is weak in the faith. Receive that person who's weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. You know, the Bible's clear about some things, but there's stuff that the Bible doesn't even address, but we get all worked up about. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Let not him who wears a mask judge him who does not wear a mask. And let not him who does not wear a mask rip the mask off of the person who's wearing a mask, rebuking them and rebuking the devil and trying to cast the devil out of them. Why carry that burden? Have any of you watched any YouTubes of Karens? Karen YouTubes? It's the funnest thing, yeah. Sorry, Karen, if you're watching any of our Karens. But, you know, it's become, the Karen has become synonymous with people who get into other people's business. And there's this one video where this Karen goes into a Walmart and she's against masks and she sees somebody wearing a mask and rips the mask off the person and causes that person to fall on the ground. She got arrested. Really? Is it that important to get arrested over? There was another one that was knocking down a mask display at a drugstore. She got arrested. You know, Karen, stop it! Christmas is a pagan holiday. Christmas trees are idol worship. Santa Claus, if you change the letters, it's Satan Claus. Karen, if you believe that sincerely, God bless you. I don't mean our Karen, any of our. But if you believe that sincerely, praise the Lord, you know, unto the Lord. If you're doing it unto the Lord, then that's good. You know, that's wonderful, but keep out of my business. Now, if that doesn't make it clear, look at this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking and whether you took the vaccine or not or wearing a mask or you're taking whatever. I know it's not horse medicine. That's what they call it. Anyway, no matter, it's not about that. The kingdom is not about all this stuff. But it's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. If God's telling you to do something or not do something, He's telling you to do something or not do something. Unless it's clear in the Scriptures, unless it's spelled out clearly, you're going to lose your peace over what everybody's doing if you're keeping your mind on that. Romans 14 is so important. It's not about eating and drinking. Here it's talking about the ceremonial dietary laws of the Jewish people. The Jewish people had all kinds of dietary laws, but Jesus declared all foods clean. And the apostle's making it clear here that whether you eat pork or not is not what the kingdom of God is all about. And of all the times, we don't need to add trouble into our lives by worrying about what people eat or drink or how they medicate or whatever. Now is the time to not get all involved in that. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, which means justice and doing right to people and for people, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Peace comes by getting filled with the Holy Spirit, by the way. How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That will fill you with the Spirit, praising Him, worshiping Him, spending time. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you're filled with peace. You can walk in peace. Again, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. What you're pursuing, is it going to edify that person or is it going to bring them down? Edify means to build up. Pursue the things that will be peaceful. If it's going to stir up an argument, if it's going to stir up a fight, if it's going to bring somebody down, let it go. Just let it go. You can speak your peace and then let it go. If there's a disagreement, we're not going to agree on everything. Everybody in here, we have different opinions on everything. And that's okay. Live with it. My wife and I disagree with things. And I think she's the most beautiful, wonderful person ever. Okay, one more scripture. Well, two more. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. God fills you with joy and peace. In believing, faith, that's what does your faith tell you? I talked about last time. What's your faith telling you to do? And whatever it is, whatever the situation is, what is your faith telling you? There's peace in that, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit gives you that peace. And then coming back to this phrase, now the God of peace be with you. Not only does he greet them with grace and peace to you, but he exits the letter by saying, now the God of peace be with you. Notice he's called the God of peace. So I've come to this conclusion. I used to not get this for years. But people would talk about knowing the will of God by knowing whether you have peace about something or not. And I finally got it because he's the God of peace. And if I have peace about something, then God's likely in it because he's the God of peace. If I don't have peace about something, then it's likely that's not God. Amen? If I'm doing something and I just don't feel peace about it, that's a good way to discern what the will of the Lord is and the direction of God. It could be a career. It could be a relationship. It could be even like medical stuff. It's interesting. I've been recovering from a surgery, and it's just, I don't know. I don't take instructions well from doctors. It all confuses me. So the doctor tells me everything to do. I go home, and I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. So I call him. And he tells me what to do. And the next day, I'm like, I have no idea what to do. What am I supposed to do again? And so I'm dealing with this wound that because of the surgery, they couldn't stitch it. It had to be an open wound. And I hate doing that. It's just more work. And so I was not having – I went to bed, and I was tossing and turning about how I treated it. And this is not right. And so I knew something was not right. There was no peace. And then a thought came in my head. And with that thought, what I should do, came this incredible peace. I got out of bed, went back into the bathroom. I did what I felt was giving me peace. And I went to bed and I slept like a baby. And this has been the solution. God's peace can guide you in different things. So he is the God of peace. And if he's the God of peace, if you connect with him, it follows that you're going to have peace. One more thing helps us to have peace in our lives. And that is to know that we are on the winning side. That when it all pans out, God wins. And since we are in God, we win. Because one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The God of peace will crush Satan under whose feet? He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Come on, that's the scriptures. The God of peace will soon crush. This should give us peace like nothing else. That we should just say, Lord, I know I'm on the winning side. And with all the craziness going on out there, in the end, not only are you going to crush Satan, but you're going to use me to crush him. Wow, what's that going to look like? That's going to be amazing. Hallelujah. So, Jessica, if you could come, or team, if you guys can come. Lord, we pray for that peace, Lord God. I pray for peace for all of us, Lord God. That, Lord, we would walk as far as in us lies, Lord God, to walk at peace with every person and to be at peace with you, first of all. And even as we close this time, if there's anybody that's in this service here or if you're online and you don't have peace with God, that you don't know where you're going to go. You don't know, God forbid, if you've got some virus and you passed and you don't know where you'd go and it terrifies you. You don't have peace. Again, it's back to that ABC. Admit you need God. Admit your sin or admit that you have done. I had to admit it. I have to admit it over and over. We all have to come to that place and admit when we've done wrong. Then believe. Believe that He died for us. That He died on the cross. That He rose again and overcame death. And He's going to raise us from the dead. Believe. And then confess Him as Lord. Say, I confess Him as Lord. And you're going to let other people know Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. If you need to do that, just do that right now. In fact, let's pray. And I'd like everybody here to say this with me, even if you're already a believer, because, you know, it's just good to reaffirm our faith over and over. We did it in communion, but let's do it again. Just say this with me. And if this is, if you're at that place where you need to make peace with God, just pray. It's not the words exactly. It's just the heart of this prayer. But say this with me. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner and that I need your forgiveness. But I believe that you died for my sins and that you are forgiving. Forgive me. And I believe you rose again from the dead and that you'll raise me up one day. And I confess you as my Lord, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, if you're online, let us know on the comment line or send us a message. Anybody here, and you say, Pastor, I prayed that really pretty much for the first time. I want peace with God. I haven't had peace with God, but I prayed that today. Anybody here in the service? So, Lord, help us. Let's stand. Help us to walk in that peace, Lord. Fill us with your peace. Yes, Lord. Just let Him fill you with that peace. Let Him fill you with His Holy Spirit. Lord God, those of you that are dealing with anxiety, those of you that are dealing with fear, just surrender it to the Lord right now. Let His peace fill you up. I can feel it right now. I can feel His peace descending on this place. Oh, just let it fill your heart. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, God, fill us with peace. Fill us afresh. Thank you, Lord. Take away the fears. Take away the anxieties, Lord. We trust you, God. We believe in you. We thank you, Lord God.